The entertainment you want. The information you need. Locally owned and operated. We are Real Country. 1430 AM Stereo. WRDN. Durand, Plum City, Elkmount. And 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand. Real Country.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The 10 busiest days in the TSA's history have all come this year, but today could be the busiest of them all, says ABC's Raina Roy.
Today could be the busiest this holiday travel period, which, by the way, is already just shattering records. The FAA saying there were 232,000 flights nationwide from last Sunday through Thanksgiving Day. That is an all-time high.
Weather could be a factor. There's an emergency declaration for parts of western New York and a disaster declaration in Pennsylvania as the Great Lakes region seen about 2 feet of snow. President-elect Donald Trump said on social media he'll nominate Kash Patel as FBI director. Patel's considered a Trump loyalist. He's criticized the FBI. He would need Senate confirmation, and the current director, Chris Wray, would need to be fired. President Biden travels to Angola tonight. It'll be his first trip to sub-Saharan Africa. This is ABC News. The United Nations agency assisting Palestinian refugees says it's stopping aid deliveries through the main cargo crossing into Gaza because of safety issues. Recent convoys have been looted by armed gangs. On Saturday, Hamas released a video of an Israeli-American hostage.
The video released by Hamas showing Israeli-American hostage Idan Alexander speaking under duress.
Listen, I'm still shaking.
His mother, at a rally for the release of the hostages, hadn't seen her son since he was taken by Hamas.
I didn't saw Idan for 421 days, and suddenly to see him alive.
Her son emotional in the video.
When he cried, I just want to hold him.
If she could talk to him.
I want him to know that we are doing everything that we can to bring him home.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hall of Fame basketball coach Lou Carnesecca died a little more than a month before his 100th birthday. He spent 24 seasons as head coach of St. John's University in New York City. He was a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Black Friday doorbusters are here at Lowe's. For a limited time, get two select one-quart poinsettias for just $3. And get 25% off all fresh-cut Christmas trees. These deals are in stores only, so don't wait to start saving before they're gone. Because Lowe's knows deals. In-store only. Poinsettia offer limited to 16 per customer. Valid 11/29 through 12/2. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection and availability varies by location.
Let's face it, winter can be a hard season. It's cold pretty much all the time. Blizzard. You have to shovel. Another blizzard. You slip on ice. But you know what makes winter suck a little less? Getting a free phone. Join Cricket Nation and get a free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G. Ooh, ouch. Welcome to enjoying more. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. Must open a new line on the $60 unlimited plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll have a mix of clouds and sunshine for today, a northwest breeze, highs topping out in the middle 20s. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a few flurries around, otherwise temperatures dropping to the mid and upper teens, partly sunny skies Monday. Explore your holiday getaway options in Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com.
Currently 5 degrees.
Real Country. Real Country. 1430 AM, 107.3 FM.
Something bumping, thump thumping on the wheel ride. The mix in our drink's a little stronger than you think. So get a grip, take a sip of that feel ride. Trucks jacked up, flat bills flip back. Yeah, you can find us where the party's at. This is how we roll.
We stick to our guns. We love who we love and we want to have fun. Yeah, we cuss on them Mondays and pray on them Sundays. Pass it around and we dream about one day. Cause this is how we roll.
Florida Georgia Line, and this is how we roll. Great to have you along. I'm Andrew J with you on your Sunday morning. Patty Loveless, Jason's Lame and Uncommon.
You've got a thing or two to learn about me, baby. So.
Wishing you and your family a happy holiday season from all of us at Real Country, 1430 WRDN.
To let him in. Santa looked a lot like Daddy, but Daddy looked a lot like him. Well, they thought that I was fast sleeping. They thought that I was tucked in bed. They never thought I'd come a-peeping or that I'd hear what was said. Well, Santa put his arm around Mama, and Mama put her arm around him. So if Santa Claus ain't Daddy, then I'm not gonna tell on them. Well, Santa looked a lot like Daddy, but Daddy looked a lot like him. It's not the way I had him pictured. Santa wasn't much too thin. He didn't come down the chimney, so Mama must have let him in. Well, Santa looked a lot like Daddy, but Daddy looked a lot like him. Sleigh bells ring. I never saw the red-nosed reindeer like the show on the TV screen. But he sure brought lots of presents, so Santa Claus he must have been. And he sure looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him. Well, Santa looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him. It's not the way I had him pictured. Santa was much too thin. He didn't come down the chimney, so Mama must have let him in. Well, Santa looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him.
Proud to call Durand our home. Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
You ever seen a prayer in person? Kind of thing that makes you believe. All the waiting round was worth it, but one of them meant to be. Mine showed up out of nowhere in just a t-shirt and some jeans, and And I knew right then, right there, she looked like forever to me. She gave 18 summers to Carolina, spent a few more wild and free. Gave a long shot chance to a Georgia boy in Tennessee. I gave a promise to her daddy and a grass stain to my knee. I might have gave her the diamond, but she gave forever to me. Well, there ain't no dancing around it when your whole world's standing there. Just cause we talked about it didn't mean I wasn't scared. And right there where I met her, yeah, I showed her the ring. Just waiting on her answer, Lord, felt like forever to me. Yeah, she gave 18 summers to Carolina, spent a few more wild and free. Gave a long shot chance to a Georgia boy in Tennessee. I gave a promise to her daddy and a grass stain to my name. I might have gave her the diamond, she gave forever to me. Yeah, she gave forever to me. She gave a yes to the dress with her mama, that's gonna be something to see. She gave her heart to Jesus, and he gave her to me. I wish she could have met my daddy, know how happy he would be that I gave her a diamond and she gave forever to me.
Cole Swindell and Forever to Me, and it's Andrew J. here with you, hanging out on your weekend. Hope you're having a good one. You keep it here from Montgomery Gentry on the way.
Shawls Gas, downtown Durand, is your authorized Whirlpool dealer. Reputation, quality, pricing, and personal service are what Shawls customers have come to know and trust. Shawls offers a full line of Whirlpool appliances, including dishwashers, microwaves, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers, with installation and service. Clean, cost-effective propane offered by Shawls is the answer for your home energy needs. Visit Shawls Gas for all of your propane and Whirlpool appliance needs. Shawls Gas, downtown Durand.
Services as unique as the life lived. That's the goal of the Chentfit Smith Funeral Home of Mondovi. Chentfit Smith has provided meaningful ceremonies to honor the lives of loved ones, from the simplest memorials to elaborate celebrations. Chentfit Smith offers services like personalized theme-based printing of cards, folders, and more. And using your family photos, they can make a cinematic video that can become a keepsake for family and friends. And they do so much more. Call or visit them today in Mondovi, Chentfit Smith Funeral Home, for services as unique as the life lived.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Billy, your gas light's on. We need to stop and fill up.
No way, Jen. Gas around here is too expensive. We can make it a little further.
Billy, listen to your big sister. You don't need to drive all over searching for the lowest gas prices. Do what I do and use Upside.
Upside?
Do you live under a rock, Billy? Upside is the hottest cashback app out there. It's free to download, and you get real cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I use it all the time, and I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying the gas you have to buy anyway.
Yes, I'm looking at the Upside app now, and there's a gas station at the next exit offering 25 cents per gallon cash back.
Okay, I'm stopping to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code RADIO to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, to PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code RADIO for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code RADIO for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Hey, good morning. You're heading to the airport, right?
Yep, thanks for checking. I like the car.
How long have you been a rideshare driver?
About 3 years now, but I really enjoy it.
Isn't it hard to make money these days with the price of gas being so high?
Not for me. I use Upside, the free app that gives you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get real money back when you get gas with the Upside app?
Yep, I get real cash back every time I get gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make around $200 to $300.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code RADIO for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code RADIO for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code RADIO.
1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Real Country.
There's a story that my daddy tells religiously, like clockwork every time he sees an opening in a conversation about the way things used to be. Well, I'd just roll my eyes and make a beeline for the door, but I'd always end up starry-eyed, cross-legged on the floor, hanging on to every word. Man, the things I heard. It was harder times and longer days, 5 miles of school uphill both ways. We were cane switch rays, a dirt floor poor. Of course, that was back before the war. Yeah, your uncle and I made quite a pair, flying F-15s through hostile air. He went down, but they missed me by hair. He'd always stop right there and say,
"That's something to be proud of. That's a life you can hang your hat on. That's your chin held high, the tear falls down. Guts sucked in, chest stuck out like a small town flag a-flying, or a newborn baby crying in the arms of the woman that you love. That's something to be proud of."
Son, graduating college, that was mama's dream. But I was on my way to anywhere else when I turned 18. Cause when you got a fast car, you think you got everything. I learned quick those GTOs don't run on faith. And I ended up broken down in some town north of L.A., working maximum hours for minimum wage. Well, I fell in love, next thing I know, the babies came and the car got slow. Sure do miss that old hot rod, but you sure save gas in them foreign jobs. Dad, I wonder if I ever let you down, if you're ashamed how I turned out. Well, he lowered his voice, then he raised his brow, said, "Let me tell you right now,
that's something to be proud of. That's a life you can hang your hat on. You don't need to make a million, just be thankful to be working. If you're doing what you're able and putting food there on the table and providing for the family that you love, that's something to be proud of.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
Oh, the weather out
but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Well, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
It's 8:30. You're listening to Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Time now for Strength for Today, a Bible teaching message and ministry from Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand.
Welcome to those that are listening via WRDN. We are here at First Baptist in Durand. We are looking at the book of Titus. And this morning we're looking at verses 5 through 9. The book of Titus, New Testament book, one of the pastoral epistles. And we're looking at verses 5 through 9. So I'm going to begin reading verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for outlining for us the requirements for those that seek leadership within a local church. Lord, it meant much to Titus, and it was given to him via Paul, as Paul was in touch with you. We pray, God, that we might take these words to heart, and though most are not aiming to be a pastor, most are, and all should be aiming to be spiritually mature. And so as we study this, may we examine our own life and see what goals we should set for ourselves. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I want to just kind of bring you back to the context here. It's generally supposed that Paul's visit to Crete took place after his first Roman imprisonment, and so we're looking at a time frame of about 62 to 64 AD. And when Paul was released from confinement in Italy, he sailed to Crete and on his way to western Turkey or Asia with Titus. And after visiting the island, Paul left Titus there, and then from Crete he traveled to Ephesus to see Timothy. Now, one of the key reasons that Paul left Titus in Crete was to ordain or appoint elders. And so he says in verse 5, for this cause Titus left I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders. Now, according to an ancient Greek classical writer, a man by the name of Homer, at this point in time, there were between 90 and 100 cities in Crete. And we know that there were Jews that were in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. They heard the gospel. They responded by believing Peter's message. And they came back to their island and they began to talk to fellow Jews about Christ. And we know that there were Gentiles too that heard this message. So the gospel spread rapidly throughout this island, and now there are these little groups of believers that have sprung up in villages and towns, and Titus was left there to help them organize and to appoint elders, the Bible tells us here. Now, an elder in the Greek is presbyteros, and it simply means an older man. And it speaks of one who has some spiritual maturity. And then there is another term for a leader of a flock, and that is episkopos. And that means an overseer, oversees the work of the Lord. Doesn't do everything, but he oversees the work of the Lord. And then still another term for someone who's a spiritual leader is a poimen, or a shepherd who cares for God's people, loves them, guides them, teaches them, feeds them the word of God. So the word presbyteros, elder, the word episkopos, an overseer, and the word poimen, shepherd, all refer to one individual and three different functions that he has as a spiritual leader within the house of God. And the Bible tells us here that Titus was left there on that island to go amongst these groups of believers and ordain elders. And that word ordain means he could personally select them under Paul's apostolic authority, or he could arrange for them to be appointed by the church, by consensus of the believers. And I tend to think that's what Titus did, as he would minister to these different groups, and they were hungry and they were thirsty for the word of God. And so as he approached them and told them what his mission was from the Apostle Paul, I'm sure the arms were wide open for him. So he had to help these groups now get on their feet spiritually. And it was very important that this be done, because they cannot really get going and grow spiritually unless they have some leadership. Yes, we can say, yes, Jesus is my leader. Yes, I understand that. Yes, and I know that you can worship Jesus in your home too. But we come together in a designated place, usually at a designated time, in a designated way, amongst designated people, and that is people who have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. And we have three epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus, that give specific instructions on how to pastor a church and what a church should expect from a pastor. So I want you to pay very close attention here, because I'm 75 right now. And here we have some credentials for a man that wants to aspire to a pastor. So I want you to listen, because within the next 10 or 15 years, I plan to be gone, okay? So you never know when this is going to come up. You're going to say, well, who should we select? What criteria should we use? It's all set out for us right here in the Word of God here. And it is the Holy Spirit, actually, who oversees and appoints pastors. It's the fellowship of believers that just recognizes, yes, God's got his hand on that man. And we recognize that, and we are going to call him and ask him here to serve us and to help us out. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. It's the Holy Spirit who actually appoints pastors. The church recognizes the work of the Holy Spirit in that man's life and what he does. And then on that basis, they say, hey, we recognize God's call on your life, and we want you to come, and we want you to minister to us. Now, the Bible tells us here, it says in verse 6, if any be blameless. Now, it doesn't mean that he's perfect, all right? I'm thinking of a church that some years ago here, I could mention it, but I won't. It's not a Baptist church, but they have, their pastors are appointed by a denominational headquarters. It's a Bible-believing church. They tell people how to be saved. They go through the scriptures together. But this church was going through pastors like water. I think within a six-year period, they had gone through five pastors. And finally, the denominational headquarters said, hey, listen, you guys got to get your act together. We're not going to send you out any more references or pastors or candidates if you don't start getting your feet on the ground spiritually. So these credentials that are listed here, don't look for Mr. Perfect. You're not going to find him. You'll only find him in the pages of Scripture as his name is described as Jesus Christ. All right? So, and down on the bottom here, whether a church is located, in your conclusion, let me just jump down there. Whether a church is located in a big city or a small town, a qualified leader is key to the health and the assembly of the believers there. I think that's a given here, okay? Now, number two in our conclusion right here, godliness, not perfection, is the standard God requires of such individuals. Godliness, not, don't look for, you know, most churches, they want a guy that's about 27 years old, he's got three kids, he's a bundle of energy, he's got maybe at least a doctorate behind his name, and 20 years of experience in the pastorate, and they want him, you know, and he's got to go well with seniors, and he's got to do well with the young people, and hey man, let's be real, it doesn't happen like that. Godliness, not perfection, is the standard that God requires of such individuals. And wise is the church which knows the difference between the two. And I'll be quite honest with you, when he uses the word blameless, and the word blameless is found two times right here in our passage of Scripture, the bar is set very high. So what does that tell us? It tells us that the people of God need to show a lot of grace to the man of God. But they also need to pray for him as well, because it's not an easy thing for him or for his family to serve in that capacity. It's the base. It's the best thing in the world to do, and I'd never want to do anything else. And those that are called into the ministry will tell you the same. And it's such a blessing. So these people are to be blameless, and how is that? How are they identified? They're identified three ways. This blameless that they are fit for the office to serve as a spiritual leader within the house of God. Number one, by their conduct in their home. Number one, by their conduct in their home, and that is demonstrated two ways. First of all, by their marriage. The Bible says here, "If any be blameless, the husband of one wife." You know, in our culture, well, it's starting to raise its head where, you know, a man would have two or three more wives. Some cults, obviously, they go in that direction. And missionaries that go overseas in third world countries, sometimes they find people that have multiple wives. And they say, well, they justify it by something from the Old Testament. It's never God's plan. One man, one wife, that's what we have, the pattern already right there in Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. But this individual should be the husband of one wife. And there's a great deal of controversy about, well, can he be divorced? I happen to personally believe that there are grounds for divorce, for biblical divorce. Matthew chapter 5, infidelity, and 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're not going to get into that here. But the marriage of this individual to his wife and the way he treats his wife is very important. And the church ought to look at that and say, now, she is his number one disciple, to be quite honest with you. Does he love her? Does he bless her? Does he take care of her? Does he cherish her? Does he treasure her? And those that have been married for a point of time, you know that it's not a constant honeymoon. You know that there are problems that arise. You know that there are difficulties that and arguments that surface. And they work through that, however, by the grace of God. Marriage is a threesome, husband, wife, and Jesus Christ. And you learn to work through that. Now, you know, a pastor that's not speaking to his wife for 3 or 4 days, that's not a good sign. Or vice versa with his wife. So the marriage is the first criteria for a pastor. Is he fit for that office? What does his marriage look like? How does he treat his wife? How does his wife treat him? Second of all, their children. The Bible tells us here, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Now, the word riot comes from a word called asotias, and it means to live in an extravagant way. It means to destroy your substance with reckless or careless behavior. It is the word that described the prodigal son when he left home. Remember, in Luke chapter 15, the Bible tells us that he spent all that he had on riotous living. Okay? So, you're not being unkind, you're not being pharisaical if you look at the pastor's kids and say, what kind of kids does he have? What kind of kids is he raising? The children are a reflection of the parents, and especially the man of the house. And so his children are not to be wild, they're not to be rebellious or unruly. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity or seriousness. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So the first way in which an individual shows that there's some he's fit for the office of the pastor is, what is his conduct like in his home, his relationship with his wife, and then with his children as well. The second way he has identified is by their conduct in their personal life, by their conduct in their personal life. And in verse 7, we have five traits that are mentioned here that ought not to be in a spiritual leader's life. The Bible tells us here to be blameless. He is, first of all, he's acting as a steward of God. And a steward is one who manages the property of someone else's. And a steward in the house of God is one who oversees the flock of God. And has that oversight. It's a very important office. And the Bible tells us right here, not self-willed. He's not a dictator. He's not an autocrat. He doesn't insist on having his own way. And he doesn't pout, and he doesn't sulk if he doesn't get his own way, if the church doesn't go along with him. Okay? He's not self-willed. He's not soon angry, doesn't have a short fuse, is able to take verbal blows, if you would, without erupting himself. Not given to wine, not addicted to alcohol. And we know that we've done a study on alcohol in the Bible, and the alcohol that was used in the Bible had far less alcoholic content than the beer, the alcohol, or the wine that is sold today in our market here. not given to wine, no striker. Some ancient church documents actually speak about pastors that would strike or hit their members if they got out of line. And I think it's primarily referring to verbal striking people, you know. You spiritual idiot, what are you doing that for? you know, you don't talk to people like that. You don't cuff them verbally, you know. No striker, the Bible tells us. And then not given to filthy lucre. He's not given over to trying to make money out of the pastorate there. It's just not what he is about. Plutarch, a Roman writer, said this, "The Cretans stuck to money like bees stick to honey." And another writer said, "The Cretans counted material gain far above honesty and honor." And William Barclay, the Scottish theologian, said, the Christian, the man who walks with God, knows that there are some things which cost too much." So this individual is not focused on money. Now, it's important for the church to take care of their pastor, and you guys take care of me very well. But, you know, when a guy comes and gives his life to Christ, he doesn't take a vow of poverty. He promises to serve the Lord, and the Lord does provide for all of his needs, and he does that through the people of God with whom he ministers. So there are five different traits that are difficult to find in this candidate's life that is aspiring to be a pastor. All right? They're found right here in verse 7. And then there are some things that are present in their life. What is absent in their life, verse 7, and then in verses 8 and 9, what is present in their life. And there are seven traits that are mentioned right here, and we'll go through them very quickly because our time is very short. And number one, he's to be a lover of hospitality, and that is he is to like strangers. Literally, that's what it means. He's got a few people skills, and he likes to get along with people, and he likes to be with people. Hospitality, to open his home up, and his wife too. They're willing to open their home up. And have people in. A lover of good men could be translated also a lover of good things. Philippians 4, 8, and 9. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, if there is anything lovely and of good report, if there is any virtue and praise, think on these things." Okay? So, what kind of company does he keep? All right. We might ask, what kind of books does he read? Sober, serious in purpose. Just, a man of integrity. Holy, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." There's something very noticeable about his walk with God. He takes on who Jesus is in a very serious way. Temperate means there's self-control there in his life. Okay? All right. And then the Bible tells us here that he holds fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. He strongly clings to the word of God. It's very, very important to him. He lives by that book, and he wants that book to be his guide. And he understands that that is the only way he can instruct a congregation and teach them in the ways of God. Holding fast, holding on to the faithful word as he hath been taught. Now, this list is very similar to the list that Paul gives Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And there's also a list of requirements there for deacons as well. Apt to teach. Sometimes certain churches look at the education that a man has instead of the life the man is living. That's upside down. We don't see anything about he's got to go to this school or that school or have to have studied here, etc., etc. No. the life is very, very, very important. Now, education will get you a lot of miles in the ministry. A lot of times, if a guy hasn't had the opportunity to go to school and hasn't had the background and the training, he can last maybe a year, maybe 2 or 3 years in the ministry. And I remember the first church that I pastored, and the first 50 years, they had 50 pastors. And it's because the guys, the church was started back in 1875, it's because the guys were called to preach, they'd go out, maybe they'd go to a Bible institute, they'd get some study tools, but after a year or so, they'd run out because they didn't know how to dig into the Word. They didn't know how to study the Word. They didn't have any background in the original languages. So education is very important, but it's not paramount. What is paramount is a man that loves the Lord, a man that loves his wife, a man that loves his children, and he looks at his home as his first church. And so the scripture tells us here, these are seven traits that are spotted in their life. They're holding forth the faithful word as he hath been taught. Now, let me, okay. And then the third way this word blameless is surfaces is not only by conduct in their home, not only by their conduct in their personal life, but by their conduct in their church. And this is spelled out here in the latter part of verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. So they're able, first of all, to proclaim the truth, exhort. Doctrine, again, is just doctrine is truth, but it's truths that are organized in a systematic fashion so you can understand them better. And we have spent the first 4 years, I think, that I have been here studying doctrine, bibliology, theology, soteriology, pneumatology, eschatology. We've gone through those 9 key doctrines, okay? He needs to be able to set forth these truths, and they're called sound, that adjective sound. We get our English word hygiene from that Greek word for sound. These are healthy words. These are wholesome words because they come directly from the Bible. John MacArthur said this. He says, the Bible is not a resource for truth, but it is the divinely revealed truth of God. You know the difference. A man can talk about the Bible, or a man can teach the Bible. You know what I'm saying? When someone gets into the Word and they start to say, this is what this text means, this is what this word means, this is what the context is, or you can have someone that come in and tell you all about, I know, this, that, and everything else, and have a lot of... People are hungry. They want to be fed. They want to get into the Word of God. Teach me the Word of God. And so he needs to be able to exhort the believers and encourage them. And when you do that, I'll tell you what, it's an emotional thing. You know, we look at this about... God hath in due times manifested his word committed unto me through what? Through preaching, the Bible tells us. God has so chosen to reveal his word through preaching. Now, I looked up that word, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that preaching is foolishness. You know what Webster's dictionary says about foolishness? It says it's silly. It says it's ridiculous. It's emotional. What is foolish is when a person loses their composure and they just let go, okay? Many times, all right? You see a guy excited about the things of the Lord Jesus and he's lost his composure because he's saying, this is it. You've got to come to Christ. He's the one that can change your life. And a pastor needs to be able to exhort. It's not just manuscript. It's not just reading words off of a sheet of paper. It's reading words from the Bible, and it's coming from his heart. as well. Be able to exhort, the scripture tells us, by proclaiming the truth, sound doctrine. How important that is. And then second of all, they are able to defend the truth. They are able to defend the truth. And the word convince is there. By sound doctrine, they're both able to exhort and to convince or to persuade those that are of a different mind. And we get our word rebuke also from this, convince. But he does so, Barclay, I'm going back to a Scottish theologian I have a lot of respect for, says, when he speaks, it's not to win an argument, but it's to win this man over to the truth of God, to help him to see what the truth is when he or she has been led astray into error. And gainsayers are those who will contradict you and those that will speak against you. Again, a guy has to have a short fuse. No one likes to be told they're wrong, or no one likes to be said, you need to be corrected. And if anyone comes and they think that they're perfect, the pastor's perfect, or never errs in what he says, the pastor's not thinking right there. But his conduct in the church, he's got to be able to exhort, to proclaim the truth, and he's got to be able to defend the truth against those that come in. And there are people that were coming into the churches there at Crete that had different ideas than chapter and verse that were here in the Word of God. And those are the kind of individuals that you want to serve as your spiritual leaders. So again, whether a church is located in a big city or a small town, the right